This morning and the next couple of Sundays, what I want to do is share along the lines of faith. And when I was praying about what to share, this really hit my heart about, I heard two words. You know, I had a pastor friend joke with me and say that one of the things that, well, you're a traveling minister, you only have to have one sermon, you just preach it everywhere you go, right? But I believe, and I don't, it was a joke, but you know, there's some that will do that. I believe God has a word for each church, right? And so we need to spend time praying and meditating and see what God has to say to you, because God has a message for you today. How many of you know there's a plan and a purpose for every service that we come to? That we don't just come and just hang out, and although it's good to do that and encourage one another, there's a plan and a purpose for every service. And so as I was praying what to share on this morning, I heard in my heart two words, faith refresher. Say that after me, faith refresher. And how many know when we go through the tough times in life that sometimes we just need to take a moment and just go back and remember the goodness of God? Amen. So we're going to look at that this morning, but I want to start off with a joke. And if you don't like this joke, my mother gave me this joke, and I'm going to blame her, okay? She's not here, so but I thought it was funny too. But if you don't like it, don't write me any nasty letters after I leave, okay? But there was this new young preacher who went to visit his parishioners in the old folks' home, and as he sat there chatting, he noticed a bowl of peanuts, and he took a small handful. He took some more and munched some more until he put his hand down and found the bowl empty. Knowing his audience were all on fixed incomes, he apologized profusely and promised to bring some back on his next visit. One of the old-timers piped up and said, "Oh, don't worry about it, Sonny. With our teeth, we can't eat them anyway. We just suck the chocolate off and spin them in the bowl right there." Well, praise the Lord for that. I remember when I started pastoring when I was 25, I didn't do that, but some of the thing. I'm glad we all grow, right? But turn over, if you brought your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter 5, I believe it'll be on the, or excuse me, Matthew chapter 8, and we'll start in verse 5, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. I want to talk about understanding great faith, And as we were praying this morning, I love how the Holy Spirit works things together through the worship, through the prayer this morning, talking about this world is in chaos right now. And as I was praying and meditating on what to share this week, I kept hearing faith refresher, and what I got in my heart was, in the chaos that's going around, we need to get back to the things when it comes to operating in faith, using our faith. Amen. We know that Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." We also understand and recognize, it goes on in Hebrews 11 and say, by faith so-and-so did this, and by faith Enoch did this, by faith Abraham did this. And then we understand Jesus talked about faith quite a bit, and then he demonstrated that faith. Of course, we understand that faith moves mountains, right? If no matter what you're facing, I think it's interesting in Mark 11, we're not going to talk about that this morning, but Jesus turns around, looks at the literal mountain, says, if you say to this mountain, thou removed. So in other words, whatever mountains that we face in life, he's given us the faith to overcome every obstacle that we face. Aren't you thankful for that? And just a quick refresher and reminder, Romans 12 verse 3 says that all of us have been given the measure or a measure of faith. And so faith is something that we have on the inside of us. It's not something that we're trying to get. We can grow our faith. We can feed our faith, but we have the faith of God on the inside of us. Aren't you thankful for that? And I think all of us in this room, if you've been born again for any particular length of time, you've seen the goodness of God in times past. And you can go back and testify of God's goodness. How many of you can put a hand up in the air and say that God has done something good in your life? That when there was no way out, God came through for you. Come on, testify in this house this morning. And you can go back and you can see, I didn't know how I was going to get through, but God brought me through. I didn't know how I was going to overcome that sickness, but God healed me. I didn't know how I was going to overcome that depression, but the joy of the Lord came in, was my strength, and obliterated that depression. But as the cares of life sometimes weigh us down, especially with all the chaos that's been in the world, particularly in the last 3 or 4 years, sometimes it's easy to not totally forget about faith, but forget to use our faith. And so we let those cares weigh us down. We get to watching the news and the media and all the chaos that surrounds us. Here's the thing about faith. Faith does not deny problems. Faith comes in as the catalyst to change your circumstance and to transform your situation. Let me say that again. When you confess the Word of God and you use your faith, it does not deny the facts, but it gives you the opportunity to change the reality that you're in by using your faith, speaking God's Word, connecting with the heart of God, and whatever you are facing now, what He did for you before, He will do it again if you will trust Him. If God came through for you before, He will do it again. Somebody say amen. The biblical principles of walking by faith are simple, but they're profound. And it's just like the fundamentals. You'll see a good sports team, sometimes when a sports team goes through a losing streak, and a lot of teams will do that, the thing that the coaches will have to do is get back to the fundamentals of the game. You know, there was a couple of years ago with the Fighting Illini, they had a great team, but they couldn't shoot free throws, right? It was like they were 40% on their free throws. Just like that, sometimes we've got to get back to the fundamentals of faith and get back to living the life of victory that God has provided for us. And so I want to talk about the biblical principles of understanding great faith this morning. Is that all right today? And I'm going to read the story of the centurion's servant being healed. And you say, well, I've heard this story over and over. I heard this since I was 5 years old in Sunday school. But I'm telling you, there are some principles that if we'll get a hold of it this morning, it'll help build your faith and get you back on track where we get back to living from faith to faith, from glory to glory, to grace to grace, and living the life of victory that God has for us. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, I'm going to use the King James Version this morning. It says this, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there became unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy and grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Aren't you thankful for the power of God's word today? Amen. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west and shall sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. This is one of my favorite. There's 26 accounts in the Gospels when Jesus provided healing. And I always say this is one of my favorites. But I think they're almost all my favorites, right? But there's so many just points that we can pull out of this and so many nuggets of truth that we can get out of this. But a centurion was a man who understood authority. A centurion was a captain over 100 soldiers. And according to Luke's account of this story in Luke 7, he was known as a godly man. Now, most centurions were not known as godly people. The Romans worshipped their pagan gods. And just like this Roman centurion, we know the story of the Syrophoenician woman as well. They had their pagan gods and their evil rituals. But I'm thankful, and this story shows me this morning, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter what you've gone through in your past, if you'll come to Jesus in faith, He will bring results in your life. Amen. That's good news today. This person's heart was moldable and pliable to the things of God. We need to understand and recognize when it comes to receiving from the things of God, your heart tender towards the things of God will make it much easier to receive. That's a whole nother message in itself. But as we were worshiping this morning, it's very easy just to say, oh, we're going through songs. Your praise will ever be on my lips, right? No, you sing it from your heart, right? Because we are so thankful that God has saved us. And if you've lost your praise and if you've lost your worship, you need to go back and remember what God saved you from when you gave your heart to Jesus. Just like the old song says, He saved me from the miry clay and I was stuck in life. And He set my feet upon a rock. And now that I'm on that rock, I know that I need Him more than anything else in my life. And sometimes we need to go back to that when we've lost our praise and we've lost our worship. And when we begin to praise God and just think about who He is, we're not just singing about God, we're singing to God. And when you get your eyes off the problems and you get your eyes off the chaos and you get your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, bless God, you'll understand and recognize that God is a good God, that He's not out to get you, He's not mad at you, He loves you with an everlasting love. And when you see that, that will help build your faith. Come on, somebody say amen. And so it's important as we talk about faith this morning to understand our heart towards the things of God, our heart towards worshiping Him, our heart towards the Word of God, getting back to the Word of God, studying the Word of God, understanding that His Word, it's been provided for us on Scripture, but it's more than just a written page. It's the Word of God that comes alive. We know that all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine. So these are not just words on a page. These words are alive. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Word of God is alive. And so there's four keys I want to look at this morning to understanding great faith that we see in this passage. And I want to encourage you and challenge you, if it feels like your faith has become weak, let this message this morning be the catalyst to just get back on faith and get back your energy and get back your excitement to following God by faith. And if you didn't catch it this morning, I did not tell the worship leader what we were going to preach on this morning, but everything that has happened in this service has talked about faith and faithfulness in the midst of chaos and confusion. And I believe with all my heart, God has a message for this church and for this house today. If we'll grab a hold of it, we'll see victory in our lives and victory to help and encourage other people. We got good news today. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is good news. Hallelujah. Let's look at these. There's four keys I want to look at. They all begin with the letter W, so I want you to remember this message 10 years down the road, okay? But the first key we want to look at to understanding great faith is His willingness. Say the word willingness. I'm glad that in verse 7, Jesus said, I can't come, I'm too busy. No, He said, I will come and heal him. That's good news. And many times we look at God and we look at the Old Testament of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We look at Moses in the burning bush and we see where God says, I am that I am, right? And we've seen that portrayed in a couple of movies. But as we consider that He is the great I am, then we realize that He's the God that can. Aren't you thankful that God can? And as great as the reality of God can, do we believe that He will? And in the Old Testament, only the prophet and the priest and the king were in a general sense, were the only three that had the ability to hear from God. But I'm thankful that when Jesus came on the scene, He made it possible, God with us, and then when He died on the cross, He made it possible for us. He rose again, and then the Holy Spirit came and lived and dwelt on the inside of us. And that's good news. And so now all of us can have access into the presence of God. Aren't we thankful for that? And as great as we believe God can, do we believe that God will? We know that there's promises in God's Word, but do we believe He will do it for us? We know that Scripture says that the promises of God are in Him, yes, and in Him, amen, to the glory of the Father. And we understand that Scripture also reminds us that God is no respecter of persons. Aren't you thankful for that? You say, well, I'm God's favorite. Well, you could say that. We're all God's favorite. Or you could say God has no favorites. But the reality is we all have favor with God, and God is not a respecter of persons. Here's several examples of God saying, I will. I'll list them off quickly. Jesus healed the leper just a few scriptures earlier in Matthew chapter 8, verse 2 through 3. He says, I will be thou clean. Will you heal me? I will be thou clean. That's good news. Amen. Matthew 11, 28. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No matter how much chaos is around you, no matter how much has just been packed. How many have been going through some things where it just seems like life just has a way of weighing down and packing on, right? Come to me, who are all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's willing. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's willing. John chapter 14 and verse 14, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, it says this, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, it doesn't mean, go ask for $10 million and then don't work. But what he's saying is, find the promise that I've given you. If you'll ask in my name, take your authority. Why? Because if you'll believe, I will do it. Come on, somebody, that's good news. God is not just I am, and he doesn't have the ability to just say, I can do it. But he wants us to use our faith to take the next step where we can hear him say, I will. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 14 says this, I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back, neither will I spare. We serve a God that loves to take us forward. How many feel like you've gone through places in your life where you've gone two steps forward and one step back, or two steps forward and three steps back? We've all been in that place in our life, but the God that we serve desires to take us forward. And if you're in this house this morning, you feel like you're in a place of mediocrity, don't beat yourself up, don't put yourself under condemnation, but just understand and realize and recognize this morning that God wants to take us forward, and if we'll get lockstep in with him, he'll take us forward and we'll run the race with endurance. I like how Hebrews talks about that. When you're running a race, an endurance race, you're not supposed to run backwards. You're supposed to go forwards. You're supposed to go forward. And let me tell you something. I love how he says in Ezekiel 24:14, I will not go back. Neither will I spare, neither will I repent according to thy ways, according to thy doings. Thou shalt judge thee, saith the Lord God. So we see in the Old Testament God's willingness. And we see that when Jesus comes on the scene in the New Testament, that he's the express image of the Father, correct? And so we see where he's willing to take us forward. And when we begin to understand that Jesus Christ is willing to answer prayer, that he's willing to bring salvation, and that he's willing to bring us peace, and that he's willing to bring us joy in the midst of sorrow, it will change the way we approach God. You don't have to wonder, whatever will be, it's up to God, you see, right? That's how, if we're not supposed to live life, case sera sera, whatever will be. We're supposed to be active in using our faith. Somebody say amen. And when we approach God by faith, we begin to not just understand great faith, but operate in great faith. Amen. We understand without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so we need to approach God not wondering if he hears us, wondering, Lord, I hope you hear me. I know you're busy up there. No, we approach God by faith. Just like God heard the prayers of Billy Graham, he will hear your prayers. A lot of times we look at these guys that are in the, quote, fivefold ministry, and God must like them and talk to them a lot. Let me encourage and challenge you today. God loves those people just as much as he loves you. And so when we understand that he's willing to hear us, it will change our perspective. I'm so thankful that one of the names of God in the Old Testament, he's the God who hears us. I'm so thankful for that this morning. So aren't you thankful that he's willing? He is a willing God. He's willing, if we'll approach him in faith, he says, I will come and heal him. Don't put the limits on God. How many times have we limited God in our thinking? How many of you have dealt with stinking thinking? We've got to get back and look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, where it says, all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to his glory. And so when we believe that, I think a lot of times we think, well, God, maybe he'll say yes, and sometimes he says no. Do you realize we don't serve a schizophrenic God? Come on, somebody. We serve a God of yes and amen. If you can find the promise of God in Scripture, in him, the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen. Isn't that good? The next key to understanding great faith this morning is his word. I like what the centurion said. I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but speak the word only. It wasn't that the centurion realized, I think a lot of times we start putting on our, I'm going to go back about 50 years here, 60 years, and about Mr. Ed, I'm so unworthy. No, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we're now worthy to come into his presence. Isn't that good news? We can now come boldly to the throne of grace. But the centurion understood humility and realized that the authority that Jesus had. In other words, it's not necessary that you come under my roof, but speak the word only. In other words, he knew and understood and recognized the authority of the word of God and the words that Jesus spoke. He understood and recognized if Jesus speaks the word, if Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. Woo, hallelujah. And so he understood and recognized that the word was his will. And faith begins, F.F. Bosworth said this, faith begins where the will of God is known. If you want to know what the will of God is, get into his word. And here's the thing. In a last will and testament that comes, and you're going to, if you receive an inheritance of $1 million, and it's being divided, and that's what's coming to you, you don't say, no, I don't want that. No, you take it, right? You receive it with gladness. God has given us his will. We see in the Gospels and the New Testament his will for our lives. But how many times have we made this statement, God, I can't receive it. I've made too many mistakes. Here's the thing. God's grace covers your multitude of sins. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far his transgressions, your transgressions have been removed from you. And we need to quit sounding like, again, I'm going back 60 years, Mr. Ed, I'm so unworthy. Come on, somebody. You've been worthy to approach the throne of grace. How many of you made some mistakes this week? I know I did. And I know that we all can fight feelings of unworthiness. You say, well, I can't receive from the Word of God because I've lost my temper. I went off on a spouse or on a child. Or I lost my temper at work. Or I lost faith. Let me tell you something. You keep building your faith in the Word of God because the Word of God says the love of God covers a multitude of sins. Ooh, hallelujah. His blood, one drop of the precious blood of Jesus is enough to cleanse and wipe out all your unworthiness. Hallelujah. That's good news this morning. Here's what we need to understand. Recognize if I put my hand out and offered a $20 bill, all you would have to do is, if I said the first one that comes up and gets it can have it, you just come and take it. Now, when I do that illustration, sometimes it takes about 10 minutes for somebody to come up and take the pastor's money, right? But the reality is, if I say something's yours, it's yours. And God said, healing belongs to you, so it's yours. Deliverance belongs to you, so it's yours. Joy belongs to you, so it's yours. That's what Jesus said. It doesn't mean that you don't go through stuff. It doesn't mean that you never overcome an obstacle. It doesn't mean that you've never faced any type of sickness or faced any type of negative situation. But what I love about it is, I love what Psalm 23 says, even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I love how it says we go through. Turn to your neighbor says, I'm going through, and say, I'm going through. You don't stay in the valley of the shadow of death, you go through. and you run, and once you get a hold of it, you start running, and you just get back to running through it. Amen. And when you used to sing the song, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him, what? At His word. And just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord." Let me tell you something. When you get to know the word, no matter what obstacles you face, there'll be a rest that comes to your faith. Amen. You don't have to work this up. This isn't just some fanaticism. You know, believe, believe, believe. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing until I'm blue in the face. No, if you'll just get a hold of the Word of God, great faith, there's a rest to great faith. Amen. And so we understand that Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And I like how it says dividing into the sunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God can get into the deepest part of your being and your spirit, soul, and body. He wants to get involved in your life, and the Word of God that has that type of power. Turn to your neighbor and say, "I believe the Word." The Word of God is more than just a printed page. The Word of God will change and transform your life and the lives that you come around. And we need to remember that. You say, "Well, I can't witness to people. If I preach the word to them, they'll get..." Here's the thing. Do what God says and let God bring the results. Amen. And so whatever you're facing in your life, you don't have to work yourself up to be a person of great faith. Great faith already belongs to you. You just need to understand His willingness and you need to understand His word. And the third thing you need to understand this morning is His way. Say His way. I love how in verse 10, Jesus begins to talk about His great faith. And He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel." And then He goes on in verse 11 and 12, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east to the west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom," talking about the children of Israel, "could be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth." Here's the thing we need to understand. What do you do with Jesus? Jesus Christ is the only way. And here's the thing. When we pray for our friends in Israel, pray that a great revival breaks out in the midst of all the chaos. Because the Jewish people have rejected Jesus for 2,000 years. But I'm telling you, there's some things that are shifting there if we'll just begin to continue to pray and believe that God opens up the right doors for the right voices to get in there. Because I'm telling you, I'm not just saying, not just getting on this revival kick, but God wants to bring revival to Israel in the midst of everything that's happening right now. And by the way, when it comes to the nation of Israel, you don't need to worry about a thing because God will bring them through. Amen. Of course, we pray and we do our part as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, but let me tell you something, God's taking care of them. And in the midst of the chaos, I believe that a revival of the Lord Jesus Christ can get in there and the Jewish people can come to know their Savior. Amen. And so Jesus is talking to this because centurions are not known as people that are going to know that would come to Jesus Christ. The Syrophoenician woman was the same way. And in that particular situation, Jesus called her a dog and everybody says, "Well, that was an insult." Well, her type of people were not well liked by the Jewish. They hated the Jews. They had these evil rituals that were just disgusting. And that's why Jesus said what He did to the Syrophoenician woman when He called her a dog. But all she said was, and came in humility and said, "Yet, can I just have the crumbs of the table?" And here's the thing. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter how evil that you've been in your past. God's not looking at your past. He's looking at your now and where you're going. And if you'll just simply accept the gift of salvation and you'll accept and come into the kingdom, you can partake of the children's bread. Somebody say amen. And so it's interesting that he finds great faith with a Roman centurion. And you've got to think that that just blew the minds of the Jewish people, of the followers. But Jesus is taking this opportunity to say that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And he's taking the opportunity to say, no matter how you've been in your past, you're not so unworthy that his love can't reach you. You can't be so I don't know about you, but I can look back in family history and different things in my life, and I'm thankful for the grace of God that got me to where I was am today. And the generations and the generations that you say, well, I may have been in church my whole entire life and followed Jesus since I was a young child, but go back a generation or two and go back and look at the goodness of God. Because you could go back and look, it's like, my family history had, you could look at, you may be able to go back and look, I don't know how they found the faith, but it was the love of Jesus that reached down and grabbed either a father or a grandfather or a great-grandfather, brought them out of the pit and brought them out because they found his way. Here's the thing we need to understand and recognize, that Jesus Christ always brings us to victory. His way always leads us to victory. His way always leads us to triumph. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 57 says this, "Thanks be unto God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's good news. I'm thankful that we serve a God of victory. That you're not supposed to go from struggle to struggle to struggle. You are going from victory to victory. Change the way you look at your circumstances. It's just another opportunity for me to use my faith. Amen. I like how he says, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." In other words, the way of Jesus Christ is believing on him. You see that this morning. "As thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And so they go forward back to the house in faith. And when he gets home, we know what happened, right? The servant was healed. I don't know about you, but if we'll go in the way of God, there's so many good things that he has in store for us. He's got healing. He's got provision. He's got strength. How many of you just need some strength? For it seems like you're going through battle after battle. You need strength for the battle. I like how Paul tells his spiritual son, Timothy, to fight the good fight of faith and to lay hold of eternal life. I like good fights. Why? What's a good fight? It's one that you win. Jesus provided the victory for us already. Amen. And so we understand and recognize that he, you know, 1 John chapter 4 says this, or 1 John chapter 5 says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. 2 Corinthians 2 says, "Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." I like the word always. Say the word always. Always, I looked that up in the Greek, the Greek word for the word always. You know what always means in the Greek? Always. There's no, in other words, there's no clause out of it. Always. And so he walks in his way of belief and then ultimately receives his miracle for somebody else. So let me encourage and challenge you. You can help use your faith to believe for other people. You say, well, my friends and my family members are impossible to bring into the kingdom of God. Oh, ye of little faith. Just change your thinking a little bit because God says you have great faith. Amen. Because there's some that you've been believing and believing with your family members and friends, co-workers, to come into the kingdom of God. And it may seem like they haven't changed yet. Use your faith. Don't speak against it. Say, I know they're coming into the kingdom no matter what the circumstances say or what I feel or see. The word is working in that situation. I love what Paul says in the middle when he's talking about talking about heaven and earth and seeing visions of heaven. In the middle of that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." How many of you know it's very easy to talk about our circumstances because that's what we see in front of our eyes, right? But we don't walk by what we see. We walk by what we know by faith. We walk by faith. We live a life of faith. And that faith will bring us into victory. Amen. And so we've looked at his willingness, his word, and his way. I want to talk about his wholeness. Say the word wholeness. Verse 13 says, the servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I looked up the Greek word for this, to be made whole in verse number 13. It says, he was healed, he was made whole. In Luke's account, Luke chapter 7, verse 10, it says he brought him back to good health. In other words, he restored him to the place he was before he got sick. You know, a lot of times we'll get a healing and then it just seems like, you know, there's time to get your strength back. We understand and recognize that. But when you're made whole, there's a place that God has for us where he wants to bring you back better than you were before. We just talked about it this morning. Again, I had this in my notes and I didn't even... I love how the Holy Spirit works things together. The three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were thrown into the fire, they came out and they didn't even smell like smoke. That's incredible to me. Some of you have been through the fires and the storms of life, and you're like, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to come through this? Because even if I do come through this, you're just going to feel like you're just falling apart like a $2 suitcase. No, you'll come through on the other side, and it won't even smell like smoke. It won't even look like that you've come through the storm, bless God, because you're back in 110% working condition, better than before. Amen. Hallelujah. Because some of you have been believing God for things to change in your life, and it's just like, okay, I'm back to 80%. I'm back to 90%. I'm thankful that we can be renewed day by day and let our spirit man rule the rest of our being. Because 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, we're spirit, soul, and body. It says, may the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many of you are thankful that Jesus wants us whole in every area? We used to sing the song, rise and be healed in the name of Jesus. We used to sing songs about how he's our healer and how he's our deliverer. But we went through something and instead of grabbing hold of faith, we let discouragement rule us. Have we been there and done that, or am I the only one? Because a circumstance will hit us, a physical ailment will hit us, and it just seems like things are not changing. And then if we're not careful, discouragement kicks in and says, I'll never be whole again. Let me tell you something. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Let me encourage and challenge you this morning. You can rise and be healed today. You can rise and take a hold of the joy of the Lord. You can rise and take a hold of peace. Come on, somebody. Somebody should get a little bit happy about it. Right? Because it doesn't matter how much chaos you're experiencing, the peace of the Lord wants to rule every circumstance. And the centurion knew who to call on when there was trouble. You can go over and over and look at who was made whole. The centurion's servant, the man at the pool of Bethesda, blind Bartimaeus, they were all made whole. When Jesus makes you whole, you come through better than before. Amen. And once you understand the results of his wholeness, you begin to see the results of great faith. And then you begin to operate in that great faith. Amen. If the musicians would go ahead and come up this morning. But just like the centurion had great faith, Jesus wants us to operate in great faith. And he wants us to experience the results of great faith. In order to walk in great faith, we need to understand his willingness. Aren't you thankful Jesus wants to be involved in our everyday life? I'm so thankful we used to sing, you know, this is one of these dry humor preacher jokes. You know, God's name is Andy. Andy walks with me. Andy talks with me. Andy tells me I'm his own. He truly does want to walk with you in the storms of life, in the situations that we face. He wants us to understand his word, not just to know the word, because the Pharisees knew the word to the point where they could quote whole books of what is now our Bible, but where it's a heart thing. Some people can memorize words on a printed page, but it never gets down in their heart, right? We need to understand that the word can bring application to our life and ultimately bring transformation to every situation. That's how powerful the Word of God is. It gets down into the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow of our the core innermost of our being. We need to understand His way. His way always leads us to victory. His way is always forward. He's always leading us to goodness. You know, John 10:10 puts it like this: the thief, which is the devil, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. The Amplified translation puts it like this: to the full until it overflows. He has a life of overflow for you today. And number four, understand His wholeness. He wants us whole in every area of our life. And just like that boy was healed, that servant was healed, He wants to heal you today. He wants to deliver you from... I just kept in my heart as I was up here today, chaos in your mind. There may be a stronghold in your mind that needs to be broken today. We're going to pray for that. We're going to open up the altar. But first, for just one moment, with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're in this house today and you've never given your heart to Jesus and you want to do that today is the day of salvation. And I want to do it this way. If you are saved and you know that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, and you want to show God and you want to show the enemy that I've turned to Jesus, go ahead and raise your hand. If you are born again, everybody's kind of looking. But if you know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, lift that hand up to the Lord. I know I kind of messed that up today, but that's fine. Praise God. Everybody here is born again today. But I want to give you another opportunity. We're going to open the altar. If you feel like that you've been working through situations in your life, and we'll have a couple of our altar care workers would come up that we talked to before service, and we want to pray with you. You may be standing in faith for healing. You may be standing in faith for a family situation to change. Great faith is not hard to obtain. It's simple. Actually, faith is not something you get. Faith is something you have. Amen? We can grow our faith. Faith does come by hearing. We grow and we nurture and mature our faith. But faith is something that we already have as believers and children of God. We just declared, we just raised our hand, we're a child of God. Right? But sometimes it's just good to have somebody stand with you. So I want everybody to stand up in the house today. All right. And I just want us to, the worship team is going to sing a song. We want to open up this altar. If you want somebody to stand with you, but I kept hearing in my heart as I was preaching, chaos in the mind. I heard it during worship. It seems like you just have so much chaos in the mind. He is the Prince of what? Peace. Let's stand together. We just want to open it up just for a few minutes. We won't take a lot of time, but Jesus is in the house and He's here to set you free. Amen. If that's you and you want to come up to the altar, come on up. If not, worship God and thank Him for His goodness. Amen.